China Crisis to start the hour, and King in a Catholic style, followed by the ELO, of course, and Living Thing at 8:15, the full English breakfast show. If you're still waiting for your new British passports to be delivered, well, here's why. A backlog of more than 400,000 passport applications has mounted due to disruption caused by the coronavirus pandemic. The Home Office Minister Baroness Williams said reduced staffing to allow social distancing meant forms were taking longer to process. She said steps were being taken to increase capacity after travel restrictions were eased, but those applying may have to wait longer than the usual 3 weeks. In a written parliamentary answer about the backlog, Baroness Williams said HM Passport Office continues to operate at reduced staffing levels so as people can continue to socially distance. She added it's therefore taking longer than usual to process passport applications. As of the 7th of July, work was underway on around 126,000 passport applications, 31% higher than the same period last year. Now, the minister pointed out a further 284,000 applications would need to be worked through in the coming weeks once initial documentation has been received and allocated. Now, that represents an increase of 172% from last year. Now, the relaxation of Foreign Office guidance on non-essential overseas travel and quarantine rules early this month has paved the way for foreign holidays to destinations including Spain, Germany, France and Italy. Now, those applying for new passports will be among the first to receive a blue version, introduced from April after 30 years following the UK's departure from the European Union. I can hardly wait. Luckily, my burgundy passport still got 7 years left on it. Well, we might have rejoined by then. 8:16.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Woof, woofity woof. It's Woofer of the Week with Dawn Howard. Hi, Dawn.
Good morning to you.
How are you today, right?
I'm great, thank you.
Okay, what have we got today?
We've got a small dog today. She's just 4.5 kilos and Rita is her name. She's a pincher type dog. She's 5 months old and she's only been at the shelter for 2 weeks. She's looking for owners who are home during the day and can tell her what she can and can't do, as well as start her training for her to become a lovely, balanced adult dog. As a puppy, she needs exercise and to run around and let off steam, so a garden would be a real plus. She's good with other dogs, she loves affection, and she's just waiting for her life to begin with her new humans. She's currently at the Saint-Collier-Provence shelter in the Var, and at the moment, they are open strictly by appointment. So you can call them on 06-19-57-2181. And you can also email them at scp83@orange.fr.
Give me an easy one today, haven't you?
I have. What a gift.
Lovely Rita, Rita made. It's got to be that one, isn't it, really?
I think so, yes.
Thank you, Dawn. Speak to you next week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
Well, Brexit's nearly upon us, in case you haven't noticed. Did the Russians have anything to do with that? Well, nobody knows, seeing as the British government didn't bother to find out. Here's Vicky Pollard to explain it all.
But shut up, because what happened was this whole thing happened, what I didn't even know nothing about. Because we was all in this really boring club called the European Union or something or nothing, which was set up so you could get cheap booze and fags on ferries. But I used to rob it anyway. I used to get a bottle of Malibu and a bottle of Cinzano and hide them down Destiny Wells' bra, because everyone knows she's got no jugs. Because one time she was getting off with Jaden Boyle round the back of Lidl and there was French kissing and everything. But you can't do French kissing no more because of the whole Brexit thing. And he put his hand up her jumper and her baps were so small, he said it was like feeling a pair of jelly tots.
Thank you, Victoria. Can you stick to the subject, please?
I'm doing it! So what happened was there was this bloke called Dave who was literally like running the country or something or nothing. And when he was little, he went to Eton College, which is now probably called Eton Academy. And his BFF there was this other bloke called Joris Bonson. And they done all like posh things together, like croquet and punting and the biscuit game. But don't worry, it's not gay if you don't make eye contact. And then there was this other bloke called Nigel Frog. who started stirring it all up and started going around saying it would be better if there wasn't all these foreigners here, apart from my wife, who is German, she can stay. And Dave was literally like, fine, then I'm going to put it to the people. And then Joris Bonson didn't know whether he wanted to be in the Noonian or out of the Noonian. And he was like, no, but yeah, but no, but yeah.
And then, of course, we had the vote, didn't we?
All right, I'm getting there. God! And then we had the memorandum on whether to stay in or leave the Noonian. And leave won. And then the next day, everyone woke up and Googled, what is the EU?
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning, Henke.
Good morning, Robert.
If you want to come into the room, you have to ring the bell.
Is that honestly a feature of Zoom or it's not a feature?
I don't know. I did allow you in, but apparently you didn't open the door, but so you're in now. How's the yodeling going?
We're fine up in the mountains. A little bit stormy last night, but it's freshened up things quite nice there. It's been a nice change of scenery, to be honest with you. I sort of work hard during the day, and then we have a little barbecue dinner, which is rather pleasant. We go for an hour and a half walk through the mountains, look at the chalets and so forth in the evening. It's very nice.
House hunting, are you?
I wouldn't say that, no.
You didn't take your barbecue with you, did you?
No, but we have a place here, so we can. We're fine in that regard. So the barbecue set up, and we're all fine.
Somebody's had a good year.
Come on, no, I doubt it.
Well, you haven't had any fondues yet.
I tell you, last time I was here at Christmas, I had a fondue and I wasn't very well after it. So a bit of food poisoning has really put me off fondue. Right. It's not really the season for fondue, I have to say. And let me tell you, the price, forget Monte Carlo, forget the French Riviera, prices in Switzerland are unbelievable. If you translate anything back into pounds, you would not buy a single thing, I can promise you that.
Yes, you have to take out a mortgage to buy a Mars bar in Switzerland, don't you?
It's absolutely unbelievable. You can't imagine the prices for something.
Right, onto the markets. A bit of a mixed day on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P are turning positive for the year, but the Nasdaq down. You know, we've just got this whole coronavirus thing just overhanging everything.
We really do. A couple of things I think the markets were focusing on yesterday. Number one was President Trump, of course. Somewhat of a, I don't know if you saw the press conference, it was far more subdued, much more cautious than we're used to. The president warning the coronavirus will probably worsen before it starts to improve. Alongside that, there's concern over US policymakers' ability to push through the next phase of the stimulus package, just after Senator Mitch McConnell cast doubt on reaching a fresh rescue bill before some of the current benefits expire at the end of the month. So US stocks did eke out a third straight gain, but were well off the session highs at the close. The Nasdaq edged slower yesterday after hitting an all-time high. The index should remember a surge 25% during the course of this year. Investors are awaiting a spate of mega cap tech earnings later this week, and as you certainly go through next week as well. If you're looking for market movements, well, look at the precious metals. Gold soared above $1,850 an ounce as investors hedge against some of the strong rallies we've been seeing since March, seeing strong flows into gold ETFs. And silver's actually been a strong performer as well. Silver is somewhat of a hybrid, it has to be said. Precious metal, but also industrial metal. It's trading this morning at its highest level since 2013. In terms of the big numbers, S&P 500 was up 0.2%. NASDAQ was down 0.8%. Opening calls on the European bourse is looking a little bit lower this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 1 point. DAX over in Frankfurt down 20 points. Jack Warren in Paris off 7 points.
Yes, one of our listeners, Jan, this morning is wondering if you think gold will go above $2,000 an ounce.
Well, the record high, if memory serves me correctly, was on the 6th of September 2011, $1,932 an ounce. Listen, I think there are lots of things that are positive for gold, supportive of gold price. We talk about those flows into ETFs. Alongside that, you've got low negative interest rates, which reduces the opportunity cost of holding a zero interest bearing asset such as gold. Central banks were very supportive of gold prices during the course of last year, big buyers. Central bank purchases have slowed down quite substantially year on year, although still remain net positive. So you put that all together against the uncertainties that we're operating in, and I think gold will continue to do well. Whether it gets $2,000 an ounce, I think that's a little bit more questionable. For us, we don't make a call specifically on gold as a standalone investment. We think it's a vital component within a portfolio and allows investors to take a greater exposure to risk assets, particularly equities, than they otherwise probably would want to do. So for us, it's about diversification, about hedging risk, as opposed to a standalone investment.
Still pushing that gold bullion company on LBC. You know, you can join the gold rush for £60, you know.
Well, there are different ways to get exposure to gold. Some are less efficient than others, believe me.
Don't think you get very much gold for 60 quid, really, would you?
I wouldn't imagine so.
And Donald Trump seems to have changed his tune a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was a real change in the rhetoric coming through from Donald Trump, talking about the impact. And the reality is, I suppose, there's two things that they're probably focusing on. Number one, some of the numbers around the pandemic in the United States continue to be frightening. And certainly, there's examples where economies have been opened up and they've had to reimpose restrictions once again because the numbers have simply got too high. Although, you know, New York appears to have been on a good pathway to a stronger environment. But if you look at California, if you look at Florida, if you look at Texas, for example, there's still some pretty scary numbers coming through from that. And of course, changing his tune around the mask as well. The idea that it can be beneficial and encouraging Americans to do that in some patriotic fashion.
I think somebody's had a word in his ear and said that his chances of re-election are slipping through his hands because he's trailing Biden by, well, up to 14 points in some of the polls. So he must be getting a bit worried about old Sleepy Joe.
Yeah, you would imagine that. And he's been very quiet, remember, Joe Biden. He's just letting, in some way, the coronavirus play out and Americans looking at the way in which it's been handled, and perhaps that's been reflected in some of the polls. But beyond that, of course, as we spoke about before, the fact that he's behind the polls in states that he really needs to win, you know, in terms of the Electoral College, particularly when you look at like Wisconsin, when you look at Michigan, when you look at some of these other swing states, that they're incredibly important. So I think President Trump will be thinking about his strategy when it comes to getting re-elected.
Maybe he was having a nap.
Is he a big napper?
Well, Sleepy Joe, you know, he's 78 after
Sleepy
all.
Sleepy Joe. Oh, sorry.
Okay, Coca-Cola sales are down, but the company has said that things have improved over the last few weeks.
Yeah, Coca-Cola reporting a slump in revenue. Perhaps no surprise there. That's due to weak sales in the away-from-home channels, such as sports stadiums, theatres and restaurants, which comprise around a half of its sales. Quarterly earnings fell 33% from last year. As you say, they are seeing an improvement as some of those lockdown measures are eased. If you look at unit case volumes, they've declined. Well, they declined 25% in April. They were down 10% in June. In terms of the outlook, they pulled its full-year guidance back in the middle of April. Said ongoing uncertainties continue to cloud the near-term profitability. Coke said they would eliminate underperforming brands and prioritise those best positioned for consumer reach and share advantage. If you look at the shares of Coca-Cola, they did trade higher on the update, although still down 15% year to date.
And UK government borrowing is accelerating. Have they thought of asking the Russians for a few quid? You know, they could bung them a few rubles, couldn't they?
Yes, I think they're probably being a little bit quiet about that. British government borrowing, let's focus on that, surged to a record £128 billion in the first 3 months of the fiscal year. To give you some context around that, that's five times the amount from the year earlier, more than double the entire previous year's borrowing. Government, of course, injecting hundreds of billions of pounds of stimulus into the economy, using that money to accelerate infrastructure projects, loan guarantees for businesses and furlough schemes to prevent a surge in unemployment claims. If you look at June figures, for example, there were 9.3 million workers on a furlough programme, costing the government £30 billion. So the expansive actions taken by the UK government have led to the unmatched rise in peacetime borrowing. Look to debt to GDP numbers, we think they will surge from 83% last year to 101% by the time that we finish this year. I suppose the real question for policymakers is it worth gambling that doubling down on the fiscal response today is enough to boost the trajectory of recovery, making it easier to repay that debt? If that doesn't turn out to deliver the growth that's required, then you're left with a fragile economy and a big debt to service.
And without wishing to draw you in politically, fairly explosive revelations in London yesterday?
Yeah, there were some interesting things coming through around the report and the interactions that, or potential interactions that Russia's been having, and the response coming through from the UK government. So that's something I think we'll continue to see rumble on and on.
Okay, foreign exchanges, the euro is certainly picking up some steam, isn't it?
Yeah, euro's been very strong. Euro trading at an 18-month high this morning. Certainly, investors reacting very positively to the approval of that European Recovery Fund and the notion of shared liability. Pound against the dollar this morning looking strong as well. So dollar weakness, pound against dollar 127, euro dollar 115. You're going to get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays is...
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. IKEA is to open a concept store in central Nice ahead of the opening of its new giant outlet at the Plan du Var next year. The new store, where customers will be able to order anything from the firm's catalogue and have it delivered, including kitchens and other home furnishings, will open on the Rue Paul Deroulède near the Avenue Jean Médecin on the 1st of September. The new store will be staffed with 10 experts who will be able to help customers design a kitchen or bedroom layout. The new IKEA giant store at Nice Saint-Isidore, which will cover 24,000 square metres, is due to open in November 2021. Police have named the man shot dead in a car in Toulon in the early hours of Tuesday as Jamal Lekatari. Lekatari, who was 35, had just been released from prison and was considered to be a key player in the Marseille narcotics business. He was shot as the car he was in, which was being driven by his partner, entered a car park in Saint Mus. His two children and a nephew were in the back of the car, but not hers. Reports say the dead man, who'd recently served 8 years for cocaine and cannabis trafficking, had continued to run his illicit drugs business from inside his prison cell. The murder has all the hallmarks of a gangland vendetta. Investigations continue. The Finance and Economy Minister, Bruno Le Maire, says he's not opposed to granting financial aid to help those on modest incomes buy face masks. The government has fixed the price of masks at 95 euro cents, which is not expensive in itself, but the costs will mount up as they have to be changed regularly. The wearing of face masks in closed public spaces has been mandatory since Monday, with fines of 135 euros for non-compliance. Mr. Le Maire said that he would discuss the issue of mask subsidies with colleagues, but pointed out that businesses and government employers are already required to provide their staff with masks. Later on Tuesday, President Macron said that taxpayers can't be expected to subsidise masks for the entire nation, but promised that help would be provided for those on the most modest incomes. And two more people have tested positive for coronavirus in Monaco. The government issued a statement on Tuesday evening, but no more details have been released. So far, a total of 111 people have tested positive for the virus since the start of the pandemic, but nobody is currently being treated in hospital. Six patients are receiving home care for the infection. In national news today, President Macron has said the government's priority in the coming months is to produce enough face masks and PPE for health workers. In a televised interview on TF1 last night, Mr. Macron said that efforts to provide more ventilators and pharmaceutical products would also be stepped up to cover the nation in the event of a second wave of coronavirus. He also promised that when a vaccine was available, France would obtain enough stocks for a widespread treatment programme. Meanwhile, France is stepping up coronavirus testing capacity in Brittany and calling on the public to maintain social distancing following a spike in cases of COVID-19. Medical staff are concentrating on the Finistère department, including the city of Brest, which is a popular tourist destination. The Brittany region has seen the reproduction rate R jump to 2.6 in recent days, compared with a national average of 1.2. But numbers overall remain small, and there's no suggestion of a second wave of the virus sweeping across the country. And the French Finance and Economy Minister has said that there will be no blanket ban on Huawei investing in the country's telecoms infrastructure. The development comes a week after Britain banned Huawei from involvement in its 5G network by 2027. Bruno Le Maire says that sensitive locations will be protected, but that the Chinese firm will be allowed to invest in France. Mr. Le Maire condemned China's alleged abuses against its minority Muslim population as revolting and unacceptable. UN experts estimated that at least 1 million ethnic Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities are being held in Chinese detention centres.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
football, thousands of people have lined the streets of Ashington in Northumberland to pay their respects at the funeral of the former England and Leeds United star Jack Charlton. Charlton, who also managed the Republic of Ireland, died on the 10th of July at the age of 85. He was a World Cup winner with England and made 733 appearances for Leeds United, winning the 1969 League Championship and the 1972 FA Cup. His brother, Sir Bobby Charlton, did not attend the funeral owing to illness. Football, there were two games in the English Premier League last night. A chink of light for Aston Villa, but looking pretty desperate for Watford. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. A goal from Trezeguet has taken Aston Villa out of the relegation zone with a 1-0 win over Arsenal, while Watford drop into the bottom three on goal difference after they were hammered 4-0 by Manchester City. Defeat for Arsenal means the only way they can qualify for European football next season is by winning the FA Cup. Manchester City's 4-0 win over Watford was inspired by Raheem Sterling, who scored twice in the first half and came close to getting a third after the break. But his shot was parried by the Watford keeper Ben Foster, with Phil Foden connecting to score.
Raheem's always scoring goals and he's always in the right place at the right time. He's a great talent and he scored a lot of goals this year and he's really enjoying his football.
Do you think he's going for the golden boot? And is that something he's been working on, his finishing in training?
You know, he always has his standards set high. I'm sure that he'll be thinking about it. And yeah, he's probably disappointed he missed that chance at the end. But that's just him, you know. He wants to be a better player every day and it can only help him.
Talk us through your goal.
I remember, just Raheem getting slid in and I just thought I'd follow my run just in case. It fell to me and luckily it did and I was just in the right place at the right time.
Defeat for Watford means their battle to stay up will go down to the final day of the season on Sunday when interim coach Hayden Mullins takes his side to the Emirates to face Arsenal.
I mean, you've got to be confident. You know, I've got to be confident in the dressing room. I've got to be confident in the boys and that's the way, you know, it has to be. And we have to go into the next game looking for a positive result.
What have you said to the players in the dressing room after the match?
Nothing about, you know, we spoke and tomorrow we look at it more and look at the performance more and then put it to bed and start preparing for the next game. But, we just spoke in there generally, spoke about staying together and doing the right things up until the game on Sunday.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
There are two games tonight. Manchester United play West Ham and the champions Liverpool host Chelsea. It's the final round of games in the English Championship tonight. Ahead of the playoffs, Leeds United have already been promoted, with the second automatic place being contested between West Brom and Brentford. West Brom are at home to QPR and Brentford host Barnsley. Fulham are through to the playoffs, with the remaining places being contested between Nottingham Forest, Cardiff and Swansea. All the results for you tomorrow morning. Tennis. The United States Tennis Association has said the cancellation of the Washington Open will in no way impact the staging of the US Open at the end of next month. The Washington Open has been cancelled because of too many unresolved issues caused by the coronavirus pandemic, but the Cincinnati and US Opens are still scheduled to take place back-to-back next month. And in cricket, Ben Stokes has passed Jason Holder of West Indies to become the number one ranked all-rounder in the world. Stokes scored 254 runs and took 3 wickets in the second test for England and has also climbed to a career-best 3rd in the international batting rankings. The 29-year-old picked up a groin strain in the match and may be doubtful for the 3rd and decisive test against West Indies at Old Trafford, which starts on Friday.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the VAR, the general situation's weak. High pressure, 1,018 millibars across the region. Winds are variable, force 2 to 3, becoming westerly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,020 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 4 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,020 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5 southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine in coastal areas, some scattered thunderstorms inland again this afternoon. Moderate westerly winds across the Var, light variable winds in the Isle Maritime. Temperatures 27 to 31 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 22 degrees on the coast, 19 degrees inland with clear skies. Thursday and Friday partially cloudy, showers inland. Highs of 27 to 32 degrees. Finally, a Norwegian bride married her Swedish groom at a ceremony conducted at the border between their countries, with the guests standing on each side of the border in line with COVID-19 restrictions. And the couple said they couldn't wait any longer for the restrictions to be lifted. We didn't want to change the date. All we wanted was to get married, they said, because Sweden has taken a much more relaxed approach to COVID restrictions. Neighbouring countries like Norway have not included it in the list of destinations that people can travel from. So what the couple did was exchange their vows in the middle of a forest in Norway's southeastern Holbæk region, right next to the Swedish border. They stood on one side of the border, separated by a white ribbon from some of their family and friends. The bride said she suggested the idea as a joke, to which friends and family responded with enthusiasm. The groom said they didn't think anyone would come, as it was a long drive into the woods, but they were delighted by a big turnout of wedding guests. And there were two uninvited guests as well, police officers, who were there to make sure no one crossed the border. The police officers asked politely if they could join in and watch. We, of course, said yes to that, said the newlyweds, and they all lived happily ever after, as the story goes.